Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Really what made us turn into Karens and demand a new room was we were going to bed and then opened the sheets and it was full of hair and it was so nasty.
Hair? Wow. Hair in the sheets. No!
Oh, that's automatic.
It was so
that's
gross.
That's the big one. Right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Josie Grossi.
Oh, Mike is making a wonderful sacrifice for his kid because this means if he leaves the state early, this is time away from Mike's family. But he's making this sacrifice for his son.
Yeah,
and I
so
think that's
I looked
nice.
Up the little
town. You're an ass, Rob Stewart. You're an ass. That is so extremely cruel. You've identified the problem that is driving me away. You're an ass.
An ass.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
The title of my life for the next few days will be Watching Florida. Uh-huh. And you know how Florida, you don't know this, but I will tell you
don't.
That back in the day with Florida, with COVID cases, and we're kind of watching to see if it settles down there a little bit. And it seems to me that they used to release the data at 11 a.m. They now release it like at 7:30 in the evening. So yesterday, Mrs. O'Mara, I don't want to say she was a pain in the butt, but she was a pain in the butt because it was every half hour. What's Florida doing? What's Florida doing? What's Florida doing? Mm. And I said, oh, there are a little over 3,000 cases. She said, oh, I said, oh, sorry, that was last night. And it's like, 6:30 at night. What's Florida doing? Have you checked it? I said, I checked it an hour ago. I looked, same number. They haven't updated it yet. So it was not till like 8 o'clock that I got the data, and it was down to 2,000 and change. So we're keeping an eye on Florida for the
trending
great migration.
Downward, right?
Because
trending downward.
We shall see. Let's just see with those numbers. I'm like a lot of people. You want to just do it. Look, I'm basing it on staying safe. The numbers are looking better, and I hope they continue to look better because my son, we want him in school when we're down there. Even though he's virtually learning, we want him to be able to get whatever packets he has to pick up and that type of stuff. That's the long story about me. So we do that and we see what's happening, and I just keep my fingers crossed. Meanwhile, up here in Maine, cases have gone up a little bit with, I think, the August tourism that came up here.
What's so up that's, for Maine? Daily. What's,
up is so irrelevant to
25.
Florida, it's not even funny.
I'm just curious about the number.
If Florida was going into a beehive,
yes,
with a Speedo on, all right, Maine is, Maine is going into Alaska and running into a brown bear.
Okay,
that's okay. Does that make sense? Good analogy?
I think less than 100, more than 500.
Well, let's go and take.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Let's do Maine.
I'm very curious.
Shout out states. Anybody states, let's do that.
Let's go Maine first.
Yes. Maine COVID. Let's see. I'm getting that up.
And
here
I
right
think
now.
Mike is doing data. A wonderful. Mike is making a wonderful sacrifice for his kid because this means if he leaves the state early, this is time away from Mike's family. But he's making this sacrifice for his son.
Yeah,
and I
so
think that's
I looked
nice.
Up the little.
You're an ass, Rob Stewart. You're an ass. That is so extremely cruel. You've identified the problem that is driving me away. You're an ass.
An ass.
I wouldn't care if there were 14,000 cases. I'm still getting the hell away from my family.
Mr. S.
Sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich.
Okay, let me see here. Maine.
Maine, 16-hour-old
story. That's not good. I'll give you 60. 24
I'll
new cases.
It. Oh, my
COVID.
God.
What?
Yeah.
Less than 50.
24 cases of COVID-19.
Jesus.
No, hold on. That's a separate story. All right. The big story down here, 24 new cases of COVID-19 have been linked to a recent wedding reception in Millinocket.
Big Moose. Yeah, Big Moose.
65 people.
Was it at the lodge?
By the way, this speaks to people. Come on now. You still don't let the guard down with cases doing whatever. 65 people attended the reception on August 7th at the Big Moose Inn in Millinocket. Mm-hmm. I'm not making this up.
I just went for a cup of coffee, and I didn't want to stay long, but I got the COVID.
I read about that this morning.
That's a very, very bad main accent right there. 18 people who attended the reception and six others who came in close contact with attendees tested positive for corona.
At the Big Moose.
They're all Maine residents, so that's
sure.
But that is not telling me cases. Let me see if I can do it again. I'll try.
Thank you.
Massachusetts, you just came from Massachusetts,
yes. Right.
We'll check that.
Let's see.
And also,
that.
Can you check for the number of cases at that Burger King in Connecticut?
And
you have a good memory.
I told Julia about that story. She said, "Why did he pay and not take his food? He should have left and kept his money."
It looks like maybe 20 cases yesterday. It looks like maybe 20 total confirmed. 4,197.
The whole state.
That was like the average we got a day in Florida.
Total confirmed is that's the number. I want to move to Maine.
Yeah,
that is surreal.
Yeah, it is. It is. So it's population density.
Yeah,
that's what it's all
so
about.
I have a different. I'm looking at through the different lens, Mike. The freedom and the peace of mind to walk out of your front door knowing that the numbers are low.
But when you go in public, it's the same deal.
No, I get it. I guess what I'm saying is, and maybe you don't have the perspective of being in the city, and some of our listeners don't. When you walk out, that's it. Like, you're there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All the time. All the time you're wearing.
The thick of it.
You're like, that level of anxiety that I didn't have in Cape Cod, like now is like right back in your face, and you're like, oh, I'm back.
Yeah.
But great news this morning, new saliva test out of Yale University.
Yeah, like $10, right?
It's going to be
very exciting.
Phenomenal and a game changer.
I believe it's a game changer when you're testing kids going into school. I think this is going to put our kids back in school safely.
Yep. And to the entire Podcast Village family, tests all around when that comes out.
And that you give them a test, you know if they are carrying
anything
when they come in.
Rob Ford, you get 4.
Spit all you want.
Yes.
Now, you'll be able to get enough secretions out of him.
No, I mean, he's here actually today. He's commandeered in another studio.
All right, let me see here. Let's see. I don't know. These dashboards are impossible to read.
It's okay.
You don't know
how about we do this? Maddie, why don't you look up the numbers while we talk?
I'm on it.
Thank you.
That's a great idea. Let us know. And I want Virginia for Rob.
Thank
Maine
you.
Maine for me.
D.C.
D.C. for Oscar.
Yeah. Maryland for you.
California, for our California listeners.
Yeah.
New York for Maddie.
And New York for Maddie.
Mm-hmm.
And Japan for Pony.
Yes.
That's right. And Hawaii for Rob Ford.
But Rob, Tokyo, stop. Japan. We don't really need Japan.
Tokyo.
So last night, because I'm a very big political junkie, I logged some time, not a lot of time. I recorded it and watched most of it this morning.
Okay.
And by the way, once again, America, parties, political parties, they all do the same thing. Television schedules. 9 o'clock ain't the time I want to see people start flapping their gums. 9 o'clock is where families, kids with parents
Why
with families
that time?
Start winding up. It's the same
Probably
thing.
Probably catering to the West Coast a little bit.
Oh, all the libs on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
The libs.
Oh,
that's right.
Excuse me.
The libs. Sneaks out. It sneaks out once in a while.
I'm voting.
Are you taping? You taping a big shooter show tonight?
It's called the Big O. Big O and Dukes. And I'm kidding, Mike. You know what side of the aisle I stand on? Right in the middle.
That's right. I don't like
the non-voting aisle.
No, against Trump.
I was referred to as an effing lib down at Cocoonville one day. That really hurt my feelings.
No,
so I'm very that particular one. I've been called a lot of things. That's the particular. Anyway, watching my team last night.
Team, isn't it, Mike? It's America.
I'm not.
Mr. Han,
I'm never gonna consider you our team. I don't believe you. You'll have to do much. However, you have been.
I voted
during
for her.
COVID.
I was with her last.
You
last...
have been. You have been during COVID.
Yeah.
More vocal
yes.
than I've ever seen you. And I appreciate that. I think you're smart. Yeah. I think you're very smart. And you're intuitive. And I think you get it. And I think that's important.
He loves a winner.
No, 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 no. I didn't get on the bandwagon early. This is
spending more time talking to his smarter siblings.
Public health, Black Lives Matter, and frankly, saving our overall country. That's the way I look at it.
Mm-hmm.
So what it was overall... a television show. just remember, if I'm ever going to have a show about me, somebody call Eva Longoria.
Yes.
And let her come out and be the hostess with the mostest. Eva Longoria was the
on set
was the ringleader, was the ringmaster, the
master of
MC,
ceremonies,
if you will. When I think master of ceremonies, I think it's there's another name that I'm not getting right for what she was last night.
Moderator.
She was maybe the moderator, but she was phenomenal.
She was great.
She's very, very good at what she did. She brings, not only is she glamorous, but she also brings an, how can you be glamorous and also bring kind of an every person quality to things?
Well, here's how I do it.
yeah, right.
Exactly. No, I was curious, like, what?
It's hilarious.
There's a lot. There were a lot of opportunities, a lot of different stations to watch on. Whose network coverage did you go to?
Well, I watched CNN.
Okay, because I watched CNN, and I thought it was curious that sometimes when Eva was talking, they would cut away to Rachel Maddow and mute
that's
Eva
not
Longoria.
CNN.
Yeah, MSNBC.
Oh, that was MSNBC. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Bouncing back and forth.
I did watch MSNBC.
I watched. I was actually going back and forth to several to see if there was any difference. But it was funny because you would want.
Did they have
really
Brian Williams on MSNBC?
Brian Williams announced that he had already won the election. It was amazing.
Because I like Brian Williams. I feel Carla hates him because of the lying.
Yeah,
and I still he's a throwback to me. He's the last throwback to the old the old anger.
Like, it's
I agree. You know?
I see Brian Williams and it's like one of the, like your hot ex girlfriend. Like, man,
old days, right?
She's still looking all right.
Sunnier days.
She still
sunnier
does
days.
It. Brian, it's funny you mentioned the look because you look at Brian Williams and you remember the they weren't all like this. There were rumpled anchors in Network News, but Brian Williams was the throwback to. The perfect suit jacket, the perfect tie, the perfect hair, the anchor, and the hey, hiya. But I also won't forgive Brian Williams for having his daughter be in that Peter Pan thing.
Oh, you I know, thought you meant the scene in Girls.
Girls,
on HBO.
That's you know
oh,
what see, that's what I tend to
watch more.
Naughty,
Girls.
Naughty.
Yeah.
By the way, that star of that show in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, right? She plays one of the girls out at the ranch. Did you know that? Okay,
I think
listen,
she is on there.
When they
she is,
when
she
Brad
is,
Pitt
she is, she is.
When
she's,
Brad Pitt goes
she's
to the ranch,
hen. She's the mother hen.
The mother
there.
Hen.
She is the mother
hen.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what's her name? What was her name from Girls?
Oh God. Maddie,
see?
You know
that's how fast they're forgotten in America. She was the it girl. She was the trailblazing TV personality for Girls, and now we have forgotten her name.
Is it Lena Dunham?
Yes, thank you.
Lena Dunham. Thank you. Lena Dunham, and now she's relegated to a bit part in a Tarantino movie.
But you know what? That's not so. She's not. That's not her limitations because I understand the GOP has hired her to moderate their televised
how dare
convention.
You. How dare you?
Rob, here's Lena Dunham.
Rob, you can get away with that. But that
let me ask you this.
Welcome.
Did you expect the actual television presence of all these stars?
No,
they
I didn't know what they were going to do. Yeah. I didn't
me
know
neither.
How. And here's my question back to you, Oscar Santana. Do you think, based on the current way things are being run, and the fact that they've got what they do theirs next week, right? Mm-hmm. Isn't the Republican one right afterwards?
And today, Trump announced at the end of the convention, there's going to be fireworks in Washington, D.C.
Stop it.
That's true.
For 1 second.
He
really
did. Yes. Yeah. That's because he's going to
be
fireworks.
Fireworks.
Well, that's good because what you want is everyone outside standing side to side, you know, shoulder to shoulder. It's good.
Are they going to, did they look at that
it's
television
gonna look,
show?
It's going to look even better because you're
they'll go to school on
it. Yeah. You're banking on, I think you're looking.
Do they have time though?
Yes.
I think a lot of this stuff was pre-recorded.
Like it's a vendor that's taking care of all this, not the White House. It's the television networks. They've hired somebody. It's not
the
Trump family.
They've got somebody to do it?
Yeah, I think they hired, it's a company called Vivid Video, and they can really turn the product fast.
I'll be watching. Yeah. I'll be watching. And
I don't know if they're going to have the A-list, like the actors that we like, and
well,
that type
no,
of Hollywood presentation.
I'm just talking about the overall presentation, because if
they'll
at
have
the
people
beginning,
on panels, they'll have they'll have it all set up. It's probably
going to be montages.
It's going to be.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, and look, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm banking that the White House team isn't building the set or laying out all the telecommunications. It's a vendor that does this for a living.
All right, I think that's fine. And because the version of the national anthem they did, and that's really the first part.
Yo Yo Ma.
It was individual kids from young people, mostly, almost all young people, a few older folks. That was a choir of 50 people singing the national anthem, and it was spectacular. It's one of the more moving versions of the national anthem. I like that. Another thing is I'm recording the convention, so I didn't watch Michelle Obama speak until today.
She killed it.
And
wonderful.
Michelle Obama has, I don't know what the hell, it's the same thing political people have when it's, I don't know, it's the writing or the delivery or the combination of both that I'm just, I get up.
Hey, you trust her. You're like,
yeah. I'm sitting in the chair.
Spellbinding.
I'm
great.
Trying to walk out of the room. I'm trying not to watch. I'm trying not to get touched or moved. She, as far as my team, she just knows how to do it. Yes, Rob Spiewak, with your finger up in the.
I just want to. Yes. Well, I mean, it's better than interrupting, isn't it?
That's I wanted. Yes, it is. You're learning.
What do you want, Dad?
I want to play you just a brief 20-second piece of what Michelle said last night, because this is so perfectly
done. Sorry, I snapped at you.
This is so perfectly done.
Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. He has had more than enough time to prove that he can do the job, but he is clearly in over his head. He cannot meet this moment. He simply cannot be who we need him to be for us. It is what it is.
Using his own words against him in a really sort of subtle way, powerful. I just thought was brilliant and powerful, yeah.
So there is a guy up here, up in Maine, that has a pickup truck with a Donald Trump flag in it, and he knows that there are a lot of, as Oscar put it, libs that live around here. And
at least I didn't say bleeding libs.
And they go to this particular church, and he drives by every day when they're having their outdoor service.
Well, the joke's on him. That gas mileage on that truck is pitiful.
It is
terrible.
Yeah, sad.
Spending his own money.
I have a Chevy Tahoe. I know what you're talking about. I have my used Hertz rent-a-car Tahoe.
Oscar, can I ask you a question about the, since you are, you know, leading video producer in Washington, D.C. right now.
Thank you.
And how much of the vendor for the GOP convention next week do you think has stuff sort of in check, waiting to see the presentation that the Democrats did to do it in response?
It's going to be the second mover advantage. Like, you get to see someone's hand. And they're like, we better make this better.
But do you think they're waiting to see? Do you think they're waiting to see what happened before they made the move?
Or
do you think they've got a lot of stuff in place already?
I don't know enough about that world. I know enough about the just general production.
But there's a lot of overlap,
So I'm thinking logistically.
Okay.
So the idea that someone's going to look at something and be like, I need that. No, they've already, I would have assumed they already have 30 or something just in case they need it.
Right on.
Okay.
And they already have that set being built in different configurations just in case
they
need
already
it.
Recorded Lee Greenwood?
They probably, Mike, I would be shocked that most of the stuff should be pre-recorded anyways. It shouldn't be live.
There are some of my like-minders that are loving that line.
I don't know who Lee Greenwood is.
I'm proud to be an American. Where at least I know I'm free.
I do recognize
God
that.
Bless the USA.
Yeah,
he's done it.
I should know better.
He's given them that one. He's a big.
I think of Clint Eastwood.
Okay.
Like all the people whose names end in wood. Greenwood, Eastwood, all of them.
Eastwood.
I think of the
Natalie Wood.
It's not a negative light. That's like my only context for. Like past conventions growing up, where I was like,
what you're saying is that they have the packages ready to go. No, that's I don't want to mock that song.
Okay, sorry.
I don't want to do that.
How dare
that
you?
I just want Oscar to know what it was.
They have the. By the way, did we get our COVID information yet?
I have it. Standing by.
Oh,
very good. Maddie. Okay. We'll get to you in just a second, Maddie. They have what you're saying is they have it pretty much put together the way they're going to put
together. And in ways that they could pivot. And the only reason I say that now is because every broadcast entity in the country is remote. So all of these supplies from the supply chain side, Mike, you know this, going to Walmart, there's no more bikes.
Yes.
Done. There are no more panels, like broadcast panels. These are the vertical ones that you saw.
Yes.
So if you wanted to order one, good luck with the lead time.
Somebody has
stacked it. No, right. I don't mean the backdrop.
Like,
I mean,
monitors.
Do you remember the town hall of just monitors, panels, vertical panels with guests that in front of President Biden? Did you see that setup?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Those panels are not easy to come by because everybody has gone remote in the long run.
Oh,
so,
I get it.
Vendor would have had to brought them in and already got them, so they don't have a 3 or 2 week lead time. So they're on standby.
What you're saying is these conventions have been put together, planned, executed, that most of what we were watching last night was not live.
Yes, pre-taped. Right.
It was pre-taped.
Yes.
You can't do it any other way and make it cohesive.
No.
And do that.
Too many moving parts.
Right. I think some of them, because of the post office stuff, were recorded recently, or they might have been live.
Look, I would say that the Michelle Obama piece was not recorded live. That had to be pre-recorded.
That was pre-recorded.
Yes. It looked like
but
it was.
But the town hall and pieces of it, I'm sure, are live. But
there was at least one senator who had a false start, so I know that there was one that was live.
Parts to make it all live.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with people that are not professionals all the time, right? They're not TV people.
Right.
And the music, the music breaks were pre-recorded. That stuff had obviously post-produced too. So,
and I don't mind it. Right. I dare say this, an easier watch.
I thought
it was an easier watch,
but I'm not sure whether it was compelling. I'm not sure whether it was. I loved, as I said today, watching it. I do that because I have to watch everything. But I don't know if, in years past, I would have been riveted just because of the spectacle.
Because
it's still the spectacle of being in a big room with people screaming and yelling, sports.
So in my other context for any convention, is it because of the work we do with the George and Barbara Bush Foundation, where you get to find out how the inner workings of politics work around a convention. How President Reagan decided to pick George Herbert Walker Bush as a running mate. All of these. So then that I do think about that, all these inner workings of everybody in the same city that just can't happen right now. How does that work on the phone? And is it that much, a leap to think that it's just like the NFL draft, but they're doing it virtual?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it. And so they'll do the exact same thing.
I think it's a trade-off because, there is something about live television when it's a pure live event, which is what brings us still in a days of DVRs and on-demand. It's what brings us together for sporting events because it's live and anything can happen. And there's an excitement for that in a classic convention. However, the trade-off is what they've done now, they've sort of already predetermined the presentation. Yeah, and they've made it more palatable, but less exciting.
And as far as the draft, I don't mean to diminish the DNC or RNC conventions. It's more about just the technicals. That's what I geek out about. How are they doing this? And I see that in your eyes, Mike. How is someone, and I see where you're coming from, how is another party going to pull this off?
Right.
And it's not the party, it's the people they pay to do it.
I was thinking that this was my thought. Because of the Democratic Party's Hollywood connections and because they've got more people in media that can do this kind of stuff that they might not. But then again, you look at Fox, which is an overwhelmingly successful television network, and perhaps they'll have
the their only people involved, outlier is if the circuit breaker fails at the White House.
Because that's where Trump says he's giving his acceptance speech from the White House.
Somebody tripped over a power strip.
Is the light on the power strip?
There we go. Would someone please light a candle? Please light a candle right now. It was, as I said, it was different. So surreal
being
a political junkie to see conventions year after year. I always wanted to go to one. And to see it virtual. It was just... it was much quieter, but in a way, it was also much less busy. You know what I mean? It was tighter.
There was certainly no filler. No filler. Right. And there's so much. I mean, how many times have we watched a convention in the past when there's 25 seconds of just a long sweeping shot of bored people in the crowd? Because that's all they've got. And that's
Let me give you the speeches that I watched last night. And in order of their being impressed, I will give you, of course, as everybody probably expected, the headliner, Michelle Obama, gets the number one ding on that. Then you get Bernie Sanders, who was number two. He was pretty Bernie, if you get Bernie.
Very much.
Then you get the congresswoman who opened, I don't know what her name was, but she was the first speaker. Sorry about that. She was, let me turn that up.
Isn't AOC today?
Maybe, yeah. The congresswoman. Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Sorry, there were just too many gaffes there. Andrew Cuomo. I liked him. He was pretty good on that. And then John Kasich, the Republican, pretty good there too. So
literally standing in a crossroads. Did you catch that? I like that.
And Eva Longoria.
Yeah.
there. Wonderful.
Speaking of, you know who was good?
Will she be emceeing it all week?
No, I think there's a new MC tonight, I read.
Oh, see, that sucks. Yeah, you shouldn't broke with... If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And they've got her.
Terry Hatcher.
It's right
Emma
here.
Emma Sams.
Tonight it's Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, that's excellent. That's good.
I'll take it.
You know who spoke well was a Mayor Muriel Bowser. I thought she did a great job.
You got a good mayor there in D.C.
Big win.
Nice mayor.
Big win.
What were you going to say, Oscar?
I said I wanted to hear the power rankings, speaking of the cities, for COVID.
Oh, yes.
Okay, Maddie, lay it on us.
All right. So Virginia had 996 new cases, 107,000 total. Maryland had 503 new cases, 101,000 total.
All right, can we stop right there and turn the music off for a second? Rob, what do you think the disconnect is between Virginia and Maryland?
Because I think Virginia has probably a higher success rate as we get closer to the D.C., Maryland, Virginia corridor, but that's not accounting for the people in Richmond.
No, Maryland has listen to learn to listen. Listen to the cases. How many cases in Maryland?
No, it was more in Virginia.
No, you're wrong, Rob.
Say it again.
Okay. Virginia had 996 new cases.
Okay.
Maryland had 503, which is less.
Virginia anti-Maryland.
Virginia had more, yes.
Yes, I'm saying Virginia had more.
He's right, yes.
And what I'm saying, said that because they're doing it better or something like that. You confused
me. Just the new cases.
No. I'm saying this, that I think that we probably are having less cases in the D.C. area of Virginia, but it's such a big state that goes south and west that there are more cases down there where there's less focus on masking up.
Well, isn't Maryland kind of the same way, where Maryland's got less population? Baltimore.
Yeah.
That's true, but I think Virginia...
Do you think it's VCU's fault?
I do.
Okay.
I think it is VCU's fault. No, I think that the bigger, I think land-wise, Virginia is a bigger state.
All right. Okay, let's get the other cases. Please.
All right.
That was confusing.
D.C. had 94 new cases.
94!
Doing well. And then 13,000 total. California had over 12,000 new cases.
Jesus Christ.
633,000 total. New York, the best state, had 734 new cases. 235,000 total. And then Maine had 20 new cases.
Oh, Mike, don't ever leave
Maine.
Well,
it's population, but when you think of New York and the population in that state, that's but it's moved west. California is the one that's still ravaged, and I have no idea why that is.
20 is a nice number, let me tell you.
It sounds like your cases in both Virginia and Maryland are plateauing to a certain degree, or
I hope so. DC's solid. I was shocked it's under 100. I'm gonna, not gonna be as anxious. Just gonna continue with my safety protocols.
You know who's gonna fix that problem in both states? Eva Longoria. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
George? George!
Hi, George.
What's going on?
Everything's all right. I'm sorry to disturb you.
Who are you?
It's Cliff Booth. Just stopped in to say hello and see how you're doing.
John Wilkes?
Oh. No, Cliff Booth.
Who's that?
I used to shoot Bounty Law here, George. I was Rick Dalton's stunt double.
Who?
Rick Dalton.
The Dalton Brothers.
No, Rick Dalton.
Who's that?
He was the star of Bounty Law.
And who are you?
I was Rick's stunt double.
Rick who?
It don't matter, George. We were colleagues from the past, and I just wanted to make sure you're doing okay.
I'm not doing okay.
What's the matter?
Can't see shit. Would you call that the matter? The man can't see shit,
I'm
okay?
Sorry about that. I was told.
Squeaky sent me to bed.
Squeaky? Would that be the little redhead out front?
What the fuck is the matter with you? First you wake me up, and now you're pretending that I didn't tell you I was fucking blind! How am I gonna know what the hell color the head of the girl is that's with me all the time?
Fair enough, George.
Jesus all Christ. Everyone don't need a stuntman. I don't know who you are.
But you touched me.
But you touched me today. You came to visit me. Now I gotta go back to sleep.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana.
How about that?
And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., heard all over the place, Milford, Connecticut, Kearney, Maryland, Pretoria, South Africa, Buxton, North Carolina, Whitestone, Virginia, Cole Harbor in Vancouver, British Columbia. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now and brought to you by Cornerstone. This comes from Stacy Licati in Maryland, who writes, after hearing the CFF commercials on TMOS, I contacted them via their website to get a quote. They replied to me the same day. We already had a relatively low interest rate of 3.375%, but Cornerstone's rate of 2.25% on a 15-year fixed conventional mortgage was significantly lower than the quotes I received from our credit union and current lender. I am pleased to say we are saving $147,000 over the life of our loan. The
wow.
gentleman who worked with us on our closing paperwork last night said that he's been doing several closings a day, and ours is by far the lowest rate he's seen. No exaggeration. I wanted to encourage everyone out there to contact Cornerstone for a quote. It takes no time at all and could result in a huge amount of savings. Cornerstone First Financial. Call them 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Think of this. At this level, you'll likely never need to refinance again. So whether it's a purchase or refi, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing. There you
go. You know what's amazing about that letter, and you glossed over it, is that they're doing each person that's working at Cornerstone is doing several closings a day. You got to get on board now because this is the time to make it happen. It's
how
great.
Many do you think Joanna's doing?
Probably
she's
five.
Killing it. Killing
yeah, five.
How about Joe? Easy. How many is Joe doing?
I'm going to say
two
10.
Dozen. Yes.
How many do you think Doug is doing?
I'm going to say 10.
All right. Fantastic.
Yes.
Hi to everybody. And Mark Livingstone and company down there. Hi to everybody.
Good folks.
At Cornerstone.
I got the number here. The 200, it looks like yesterday was 200 in Northern Virginia, Mike. They slice off the rest of the state so Rob doesn't have to worry about it. In Northern Virginia, we have 210 new cases. Not bad.
Yeah, it's tough because you are talking about how you manage it everywhere, yeah. And it's top of mind.
But compared to Florida or California,
yeah, that's true.
Oh my God, we are so lucky. We are so lucky.
Yeah, yeah. I just, it makes me, I'm really, I want to be optimistic. I'm ready. Everybody's ready. And we'll see what's happening. But I think we're going to be migrating next week because it's time to do that. My son is not going to be going to school. Rob's daughter is not going to be going to school. And it's a tough
Robert,
call.
Robert, 100% virtual learning as well.
Oh, so he's not going in once a week. Oh, that's right. He's all virtual because the county
Loudon pulled it. Yeah.
Dictated it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we are still, there is a school board meeting tonight that will determine whether or not, starting, I guess, a week from Monday, if Carrie has to go into the school building, even though it'll be devoid of students. Because they might have to do that. That
the
is still up in the. That is still up in the air. And there's nothing creepier than an abandoned school, except maybe an abandoned amusement park. So we should have an answer tonight. We hope.
Empty stadiums, that type of thing. It's just a strange world.
We'll make it through this.
And but it's with
weird.
That, you would think we don't have enough going wrong, but our beautiful, wonderful. Wonderful kid, Maddie Masiello, decides again that she is going to take a journey, go on an adventure. And Maddie, by the way, that's how you get on this show. You take adventures.
Yes.
You go out into the world. And you know what? You did it again. After your fear of the Bay Bridge, where you went over the Bay Bridge and you thought that's all you had to do to go to the beach. You learned your lesson and realized there was a lot more driving after that.
Yes.
And all I know is that yesterday I was told that you have to ask Maddie about sea lice. That apparently you went to the beach. What beach did you go to?
So it was in Ocean City. I'm not sure what the name of the
beach
okay. was.
Well, that's just Ocean City.
Yeah, no. Is it all one?
Ocean City's fine. One beach. And
also known as Ocean.
Yes. Found that out very quickly.
the thing about this dilemma, I heard this story a couple of weeks ago about the Jersey Shore that people were getting stung by sea lice.
Mm.
And it sounded horrible because you think of lice as, you know, in crawling around in people's hair.
Dirty kids.
The way I understand it, sea lice are actually larvae, one of my least favorite words. One of my least favorite words in the English dictionary. Larvae of jellyfish. And you experienced sea lice now after your other bad experience?
Yeah, so I'm not sure, because when we looked at, first of all, we had no idea what it was coming out of the ocean. It just, I walked out and I had already had friends who had gone in the water and they were fine. But then we all went back in and came out and we were just walking back to our stuff and just became very itchy everywhere.
Oh, so now, the weather was supposed to be rotten. How was the weather when you got there? I'm surprised you even got in the water.
Yeah, no, it wasn't raining. It was overcast. But I mean, it was like 75, 80,
still
kind of
the
a
beach.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah,
but
sure.
the waves were really bad, so we didn't stay in the, we were in the water for like 5 minutes. And then I like scratched my back and all over were these, they looked like really tiny translucent crabs.
Ah,
that,
oh, and like if God. You, and because I think sea lice, depending on where you are, it's different larvae of different animals, because it looked like it had little pinchers. All you could see are little pinchers and then two beady eyes, and they were moving all over.
So if they had eyes.
This doesn't surprise me, because I used to go to the Jersey Shore with my dad when I was little. And in August, the water gets warmer, and that's when the jellyfish would come.
Mm-hmm.
And so jellyfish are actually a late summer phenomenon in the Jersey Shore. But the lice, we never knew about. This is something.
Is it like the red tide in Florida?
Sea lice are actually small parasites that affect fish. Beachgoers sought their own remedies for the seasonal itchy rash. Folk remedies include the use of garlic, athlete's foot spray, lemon, hydrogen peroxide, witch hazel, rubbing alcohol, spray starch, Epsom salts, and meat tenderizer. So
yeah, I've heard. I remember meat tenderizer as a folk cure. Here's what. Here's one of the cute little fellas.
Gross.
Gross.
Yeah. Gross.
Ugh. And the only thing I've been reading is that they're lurking in Jersey waters. So
hey, use bite.
I would assume if it's along the Jersey Shore, it could get down to the Ocean City.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Same body of water.
Yes, beach towns
Atlantic
along the Jersey. beach towns along the Jersey coastline are reporting cases of sea lice. Although sea lice are just as annoying as the land-based kind, they're not exactly the same. Sea lice are jellyfish larvae.
Mm.
That's what it says they are here.
Gross.
And they can be found in the Caribbean, Gulf of Mexico from March through August. But last month, warm currents carried the larva much further north. So there they are. Sea lice.
Maddie,
I have to think this is somehow related to COVID and less people in the water. I think it's just got to be pandemic related.
So you don't have the water, but now you do have in Ocean City, as most people know, is the boardwalk and the people. What did you think about that?
Well, when I was reading the new cases in Maryland, it made total sense because nobody was wearing a mask anywhere. Everybody, we would get in the hotel. First of all, the hotel we were staying at, do not recommend at all. We had to switch rooms. It was nasty.
What was the name? Now, why did you have to switch rooms?
It was
why
called
did you have to
the
switch?
Princess Bayside. And we walked.
That's one of the better hotels down there.
And also, so going in, we couldn't find an Airbnb anywhere. It was the cheapest non-motel I could find, but at that point, should have just stayed at a motel.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you switch your rooms?
Well,
I always like to know that story.
The toilet was stained. The ceiling was stained. There was a hole in the floor. And then the kicker, really what made us turn into Karens and demand a new room, was we were going to bed and then opened the sheets and it was full of hair. And it was so nasty.
Hair?
Gross. Hair in the sheets. No!
Oh, that's automatic.
It was so
that's
gross.
That's the big one. Right? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Josie Grossy.
Hair. Oh, that means, you know what that means? Mm-hmm. That's the obvious. They didn't change
the sheets.
No. Yeah. Of course not.
During COVID, you know, you want clean linens.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Maddie, you're taking your life in it. Hey, by the way, anyone who believes they were bitten by sea lice is encouraged to take off their bathing suit as soon as possible. Get home and take a shower.
Yeah.
Washing their suit in hot water and detergent will kill the remaining larvae.
What pervert, though, wrote the fucking, get out of your bathing suit as soon as possible on the shore. Take it off on the shore.
Some guy walking along the beach that's, Dr. Van Helsing. Hey, by the way, if you've been beaten by the, take that bathing suit off, man.
Right away. We'll send it off for tests.
As soon as possible. So another horrific, did you go with your boyfriend?
No, I went with three other friends, but the ocean is not good to me, because last time it was the jellyfish. I've stepped on sea urchins before and had to get their little things, like I've gone to the hospital to get their things like pricked out of my feet, which is terrible. Last summer when I was in Italy, I cut my feet really badly on some glass, couldn't walk anywhere, so I'm done with the water.
Yeah, go to the mountains. Sea lice go to really a mountain cabin or something. You know?
Skiing might be better.
Yeah.
Sea lice and they are nasty looking, though.
Was there anything redeeming about Ocean City?
We had a couple good meals, surprisingly.
Nice.
And just, I mean, with your friends, when everything kind of goes wrong, it's still funny anyway.
Yeah.
So we had a good time regardless. But
did you have a crab cake?
I don't think I had any crab. I had the only crab I had besides the sea lice was some mac and cheese that had crab on it.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
And lice and fritters.
Listen, if you go down to the beach, make sure you check out Whitehall's famous lice fritters. That's it. That's it. Well, that's exciting. Unbelievable. Thank you for your travel log. We got to take it back. Speaking of travel, when you come to Maine, you think of lobster, but there is another staple in the great state of Maine that Rob Spiewak has done a little research on. I'm not a fan, and so I'm really looking forward to what Rob has
to say. I'm curious for your take before I reveal what I've found.
It is a hot dog product in Maine, famous in this area.
Ooh,
and that's what they eat, and you get them in every grocery store. We'll talk hot dogs when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show. She stood there bright as
the sun on that. Yeah, baby.
Put your fucking hours and your fucking menu up on your fucking website.
Oh, no.
Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
The fucking Mike O'Mara Show.
Make sure you grab the pussy.
You're going to get your sucked.
God damn it.
I'm doing some fucking promo.
They're a psychotic.
Want more bawdy R-rated Mike O'Mara Show fun every week?
Of course you do.
Well, the TMOS bonus show is an extra uncensored episode with everything left in and nothing left out. So what are you waiting for? Hit the button and subscribe right now, you piece of shit, motherfucker.
I want to apologize for that outburst.
Twitch.
Twitch again?
Yeah. He's got Twitch a lot of time on his hands. Yeah,
Twitch is having fun, isn't he, Rob? He really,
he is. Love him.
Oh, my God. Boy, sometimes I get embarrassed. I'm almost blushing here with
almost?
That promo. I'm almost blushing here.
Almost.
And then I apologize after. I had a little meltdown on the bonus show about menus at restaurants. Oscar,
Tim Hortons.
I love it.
Very, very embarrassed. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm just getting over that. We have all spent a lot of time at home in the past few months.
Yes.
Good read, Mike. A lot. And at first, it was kind of fun cooking at home. Well, now if you're like me, you're going a little squirrely with it. How about Freshly?
Freshly.
Freshly, yes. Freshly. They understand that food needs to be delicious, healthy, and simple. Am I right about that? Of course I'm right.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Right. Right,
right, right, right, right.
With Freshly, you can avoid the grocery store and enjoy fully prepared dinners delivered fresh, not frozen, right to your door. Freshly's chefs and nutritionists do all the hard work. All you do is heat for 3 minutes. Dinner is done. Whether you crave comfort foods, feel-better foods, or something from your personal home bistro, Freshly has what you want every time. You're going to love it. Join the almost 1.5 million satisfied Freshly customers and skip the shopping, the prepping, the cooking, and the cleanup. Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off their first two orders at Freshly.com/TMOS. Don't wait. That's Freshly.com/TMOS. Okay, hot dogs. You're saying you wanted my impression of the main hot dog, which
is known. Yeah, because it's called a red snapper. And when I hear red snapper,
red snapper,
I think fish.
Yes.
I think of fish.
Yes. Right.
But the red snapper is a regional thing. What do you know about it?
I've had
The Reds, they have up here at our little harbor, they have a fundraiser every year. I think they backed off at this year. Don't even ask me what went on. It's hard to keep track because so many things were canceled. But they would have a little hot dog roast, and the hot dogs of choice that they would serve were these red snappers. Now, when you go into a grocery store up here, you see the red snappers. The packaging is very minimal. It's shrink-wrapped, this big thing around these bright red red dye number two hot dogs.
Yep.
And all I can tell you is I've maybe had a few of them in my lifetime, and I'm not enthralled with the flavor.
This author refers to them and refers to the other hot dogs as brown hot dogs, which I don't think is right, but we can differentiate them that way.
Sure.
They call it an iconic main dish grilled to smoky perfection and nestled inside a New England-styled bun split right down the center. So like you would serve a lobster roll.
So you're talking about the New England style bun is the one that doesn't have the crust on the outside. It's just got the breading on the outside. So
right, and it's split a lobster roll. It's split bun, on right? the top, right.
And you can grill it, put it on
Mike,
the grill.
I've had the red hot dog. You actually
snapper.
You've taken us down. Maybe Rob wasn't there for some reason.
I wasn't.
But you walked me down to what was like a parade or a fundraiser in Maine.
That was the red snapper.
Yeah.
You went to the
yeah.
you went to probably the 4th of July
I
thing.
I had three of them with some Utes.
You yes. that's the red snapper.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan. I'm not. I like my. I like. If you want to know what I like, if you want to know what I like, to yeah. be perfectly honest, if you're gonna have a hot dog, you might as well have a Hebrew national. the Hebrew national. It's great. You get the hot dog. It's got the great flavor. It's kosher. That's what I like.
The red
like
snapper
is hot dog out there.
It's a thin hot dog too.
It's a thin hot dog. Mm-hmm. The casing is a little sloppy.
Well, that's I'm going to talk about the casing, but I found out that only one company makes them, and they're called W.A. Bean and Sons, and they call it a source of national pride, and that Mainers love to stick up for their red hot dogs.
What
so
is
it's
it
only
with
made
the
by
Bean
one company.
Family in Maine.
I know.
The L.L. Bean, and then the W.A. Bean, another Bean.
Wow.
God, there's so many beans up here.
Now, you talked about King's things. Looked in my pantry. Too many beans.
Too many beans. I don't understand.
So
one company makes them?
Hold on.
One company makes them?
Mm-hmm. They're the last butcher in the state left making red snappers. So this is the main source for all information. That's why I'm not surprised when you talk about the packaging. I didn't have that information. But if you're the only game in town, why are you going to spend a lot of money? Just, make them and sell them. They've been making red snappers for more than 150 years, W.A.B. and Sons. They're the fifth generation family, and they haven't changed up their methodology. They are handmade, and they're called snappers because they snap when you eat them, because their casing is made of lamb.
Okay. Oh, no.
Which is, I know that hot dogs are not a beautiful gourmet food, but a lamb casing throws me a little way. A lot of companies use artificial man-made casings. But because of that, lamb casing is full of collagen, so when it's grilled, it gets crispy, and that's why it snaps.
Is it a pork or a beef dog?
It says here, it does not say if it's a pork or a beef dog.
Is it
so
a
I
lamb
imagine
dog?
It's a mix. No, well, obviously there's some lamb because of the casing, but I imagine it's a mix. But the question remains, why are they red? And they asked the people at W.A. Bean and Sons, and they said it's a marketing tactic. Well, they did some more research, and they found out that the red is a result of red dye number 40, red dye number 3, and sodium nitrate. Which is the reason this makes sense.
Isn't that what blew up Beirut?
No, it's a different chemical.
Oh, excuse me.
Sodium nitrate is the reason that corned beef is so bright pink or red, because that's what they use to cure it. I think it's beef and pork, Rob.
I think they're beef
it's
and pork.
It's a mix. That makes sense. So they did the history research, and it dates back the hot dog cart and the sale of hot dogs on the street goes back to the city of Copenhagen, and the red... They sell something there called the Red Pulse, which is similar. And
in Germany or in Copenhagen, Denmark?
Copenhagen, Denmark. And it's spiced with nutmeg, allspice, and cardamom, so it's slightly sweeter. Mm. But still, here's the reason why they were dyed red. The reason that your iconic hot dog is red is back in the 1920s, butchers would dye older sausages bright red to know they could sell them at a cheaper rate. It's like a discount tag on a hot dog. Originally, the red snappers were bright red because it's like having a clearance sticker on it. And so that was originally put on older hot dogs, and that's the reason why they started making them red, and that's how they got their vibrant hue. So every time a Mainer takes great pride in a red snapper, what they're doing is they're taking excitement about a hot dog that's too old to sell at full price in the old days.
It's a discount hot dog.
It's a discount hot dog. And I just thought that was very, very entertaining.
In a mixed party cocktail.
Don't do that at the parade.
Hey, you know we're celebrating discount hot dogs, you rubes.
Oh,
that's right.
It says here the dogs are sold in pink and natural color. So you can get them in natural color for those sensitive to the food dye.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I think that a real Mainer would be upset if it wasn't the bright red, wouldn't they?
Yeah, be a designer imposter hot dog.
Exactly, I think that, a brown hot dog.
Rob, you're with me on the Hebrew National being your favorite dog?
I will tell
dog?
You the best hot dog on the market. Now, the Hebrews
Oscar
make
Meyer.
Oscar Meyer's garbage. What's the matter with you?
Yeah, I agree
How
with
dare
Rob,
you.
100%.
For one thing, they don't have any snap to them at all. A Hebrew National will come in the normal size, which is 7 to a pack. Then they also do a 4-pack of 1/3-pound, no, of 3-ounce dogs. And then they also have the 1/4-pound dogs, which I think are too big. The best ones are the 3-ounce ones.
I thought Oscar Mayer was a premium brand for hot dog.
Well, no. The thing about Oscar Mayer, I mean, it's just they're massive.
Bland.
They're big. They're huge as far as a company is concerned. But I'm not a big fan of the product.
So,
you know?
No, they're bland.
So the Hebrew Nationals are the go-to?
Absolutely. 100%.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, the
with a little bit of sauerkraut, a little spicy mustard.
You get them in the flavor, you get to put the ingredients some more. Yeah, they might be a little more expensive, but it doesn't matter. But you put the ingredients in the way.
Remember, Mike, Hebrew National, we answer to a higher calling.
Before we get out of here, let's go around the room real quick. What do you take on your hot dog? What do you want on your hot dog? Oscar Santana.
It's mustard, ketchup, relish.
Okay, there you go. I'm going to give that a buzz. Thank you very much. What is wrong with my board today? Here, let me try this. That's the problem. That
sounds like fire.
That's a bad cable right there.
Bad cable.
That's what it is. Okay, hold on just a second. Let me hit the buzzer again. Anyway, it's still not working. Okay, so ketchup and mustard, I'm just not a fan of that combination. Rob Spiewak, what do you think?
I will never turn down any hot dog combination, but my absolute go-to, given a chance, spicy mustard and sauerkraut.
Spicy mustard.
Who has sauerkraut just willy-nilly hanging out?
Rob
That's
does.
What I'm
Rob
saying.
Probably
I
has
do.
Some in his refrigerator right now.
No, I have a can, just in case.
Matty Messiello.
Ketchup, mustard, relish, and onions.
Oh, nice.
The ketchup mustard combination. I like diced onions finely diced onions with a yellow mustard. That's my favorite on the hot dog.
King's
no ketchup.
Things.
Keep ketchup away. Keep ketchup away from my hot dog at all costs.
But too many beans.
By the way, ketchup in general, you know, I mean, it's okay.
Oh,
but
be careful. That's fighting words for the Spiewak family.
I consider ketchup an assist for a bad French fry. That's the way I look.
What do you
ketchup.
Usually put on your French fry?
And what about
Zippy,
a hamburger?
If they're great, a hamburger too. Okay, thank you. All right, but if they're bad French fries, I dip them in ketchup. But if they're good French fries, they don't need anything.
Oh.
There you have it.
Wow. If they're bad Happy French summer. Fries, I have them with gravy and cheese curd.
Big Sub, Giant Sub has great French fries.
Do they really?
What?
Yeah, great French fries.
A sub place
fantastic.
That makes great fries?
Oh, they have the egg salad. It's fantastic.
I got some French fries, and it was a great one.
Right. There you are. I'm gonna switch out of here right now. We'll come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. Everybody!
If the autumn winds are a pirate, then 2020 is a hurricane. The approaching eye gives us a window of opportunity for baseball to return. What's normally a 162-game marathon is now going to become a 60-game sprint, and you don't want to miss a game. So let's prepare for this baseball binge-watching by updating your man cave. Go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click on the Tim Moore Shopping Center, and click on Walmart. They have everything you're going to need. Big-screen TVs, coffee tables, a new couch, chip bowls, beer mugs, a mini refrigerator, and even a portable urinal so you don't have to miss an inning. So no matter who you're rooting for, get everything you need for this mini baseball season through the Walmart tab at the TMOS Shopping Center. And now, back to the guy who's still a Sox fan, even though they wouldn't hire him to be their spring training public address announcer, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Let's tip my buzzer out to see if I fixed it. That's a little
better. Yeah, there you go.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Bringing Back Best Fiends. Great to hear from them again.
Woo. Yes.
I know you've got some time on your hands, so what are you doing with all that free time? Playing Best Fiends, I hope.
Yes.
If you're not playing Best Fiends yet, you should be. It's hours of fun that you can enjoy anytime. Best Fiends has challenging puzzles to solve, cute characters to collect, and new levels added every day. Rob is hooked. What is your level?
Mike,
what is your
look at this.
Level?
Right there, I'm looking at it's level 160,
Ooh.
Sludge Dread. And it looks a lot easier than it is, but I tell you what, it kept me company during the convention. last night. It was a little Sludge Dread. It was a little Michelle Obama. It's addictive. It is the greatest game, and it really, it makes your mind work in different ways. I love playing it. It's so much fun.
Once you start, you can't stop. Fresh, fun, cute. It's a blast beating the levels. Best Fiends is great anytime. No bandwidth, no problem. Spend some time with your best fiends. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already, with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. Yep. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends. And I always want to do the entire commercial like Peter Lorre. I am fiendishly good. I'm going to give you some very inexpensive hot dogs. They're known as Red Snappers.
Poor devils.
Oscar brought this up, so tomorrow let's see if we can check in with Captain Steve out there in Iowa that has gone through some very, very severe weather that really didn't get all that well covered, I think, in mainstream media. So I'd love to hear that. You know, the mainstream media, the fake news, of course.
Yeah.
That's the way they do it with all that. Let's get an update on your sis. How is your sister doing? We talked about it yesterday, Oscar Santana. Yeah, how's that going?
So she saw the specialist. The specialist, there are different degrees to any type of eye injury. And the specialist said that there is some damage. It's not a full tear, and it technically may not be a tear per se, which is all confusing to me because it's the eye, right? It's like it's one of your eyes. The assumption is that what she has going on is equal to a bad pixel on a television. And if anybody's ever dealt with an older television, sometimes you'll look at it and you're like, What's that dead spot?
So her eyes are DLP.
Yeah. No, I would say they're LCD. No, they're plasma.
Oh, okay.
Plasma.
Old plasma.
Yeah, old plasma, plasma.
And by the way, for those of you that don't know, we were talking about it on yesterday's show. Yeah. When Oscar went up to Massachusetts to visit his family, they were roughhousing with their little girl. And
little boy,
the little
boy.
Girl's little boy, the little boy, Sebastian, his...
His heel went right into her eye.
Scraped the surface of her eye and wreaked havoc on the vacay for the whole family.
It's scary, and she's a 10 out of 10. Like, she didn't make a big deal out of it, except
low-keyed
for the fact that we took care of Sebastian a couple evenings when they had to go to the ER at Mass General from Cape Cod, which is a 2-hour drive. And so she went yesterday, and we got the info right after the show that, so the prognosis is this, is that you created to a bad pixel. The brain is amazing in a way that they say that hypothetically within the next 2 to 3 months, the brain will work around the dead pixel, and then it'll hopefully in the long run go away. But that dead pixel is always there.
So the brain just learns a way to like work around it.
Yes.
That's crazy.
But it's also scary is that even within the world of LASIK and laser surgeries, that there isn't just a quick like, let's just
fix it. Yeah.
Fix it. Right. Scary.
Well, I think the brain can do amazing things. It probably compensated for my lack of intellect to get me through American University. That's what happened.
So you had a couple bad pixels back then.
She's in good spirits, considering, and the fact that she's got great vision on her left eye, and that she still has vision in her right eye. There are times, though, you have the floaters that, you know, if people get migraines, they see them in the past.
Right, I get them. I get them even without the migraines. I've had floaters forever. Everybody's got different degrees.
I'm 10 years old when you say floaters.
Like you're thinking of poop?
I you don't need to specify.
I just upper deckers in my eye.
Buddy. I apologize for being a toddler sometimes.
I mean, doesn't everybody have little squigglies floater in their field of vision? Doesn't everybody have that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do either one of you, and I'm not going to get into this today, my Friday night, which was
are you still feeling it on a Tuesday morning?
No, not at all. No,
oh, good man.
I'm past that. But I will tell you, I will ask this. Do you ever wake up in the morning when you've really had a bunch to drink the night before, and you close your eyes, but you see like spots?
Stars.
Like
Stars, sure.
Or spots. Okay, I'm not alone with that.
No.
Just checking.
Just so
I've gotten it for years. It's not like this is a new phenomenon being 61. But she's going to be okay.
She's going to be okay. I think what's unsettling for me is that they can't just fix something like that. I'm not just even talking for my sister-in-law. I'm talking about for,
Overall
people.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to get And I'm sure you guys dealt with this at JFK when they had the laser eye surgery place. And
yeah, I didn't qualify for it, so I never got the procedure.
No, the only thing I got was my back hair done.
So
lasered, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to...
the smell.
To the appointment where they see if you're a candidate. And yes. I wasn't a candidate. I remember asking, and I... the smell of hair.
I'm sorry. He's in that mood today. Where he's all... Did you?
There's a lot of hair and a lot of smells.
Did you? I'm sorry. I know we're talking about your sister. I apologize. I will get right. Yeah. How long did it take? Did it last when you got your hair removed?
There were, I believe, if I am not mistaken, they estimated four, but there were 5 hour plus long sessions. And there after that, there is a marked decrease in my back hair.
Like forever.
Well, yeah, but not permanent. I mean, it's not smooth.
Has it fought its way back? Did nature find a way?
How long did your back stay smooth after that?
Probably 6 months.
Not worth it or not worth it? You can say it now.
Mike, it was the worst experience of my life with zero payoff. It's like someone took a recently extinguished match. I think I have matches here.
Oh, no, I've had it done. It's like a rubber band.
Yeah,
like,
okay, no, I'm sorry. All I have is a
disposable lighter. You had it done too, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oscar, you had that done too.
And it worked.
It's like, well, for you, maybe. You don't have this sturdy Polish stock that really wants to generate hair. But it's like someone lights a wooden kitchen match, blows it out, it's still hot, and then goes, but, but, and then, but, your entire back. And keep in mind, that's a lot of real estate.
Mike, I had my butt erased.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you had your butt lasered. Yeah. We are such DJs. They can't do... what am I hearing? The TV's on. I'm sorry.
Of course.
I will turn the TV off. Hold on. I'll tell you. Oscar, your sister can't do anything with laser to fix this, right?
No, that's what the specialist said. Right. They're matter of fact about it. I was saying...
He's going to turn the TV off.
I went to get the consultation to get the LASIK eye surgery, and I was like, no. He's like, I said, when is there going to be technology in 10 years that maybe you could fix my left eye, which I have astigmatism?
Right.
And he said,
And that means that your two images don't always blend right,
If you mean new technology, like you get an eye transplant, I'm just like,
well, can you enjoy a 3D movie?
I can. Not as great as you can, though.
Okay, because the astigmatism means the images don't match up right.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't instead well with 3D. Put the laser. They make me nauseous. I don't
you
like
put the laser
3D
on your ass instead.
My tuchus. Yeah, well, it was nice. Free. Why not?
Sure, I might.
Buddy
pass
of mine
on
told
that.
Me one time if you want to have a really nice experience, I don't advocate it. I'm anti-drug, but eat some hallucinogenic mushrooms and then go see a 3D movie without the glasses. Well, there you go. That should be big fun for everybody. Yes, sir.
I understand there may or may not have been someone in my family who took a hallucinogen and went and saw Fantasia and spent the entire movie staring at the seat in front of him.
Well, best to your sister-in-law.
Yeah, I hope she's better.
Thank you for asking.
I hope she does well with that. We will take a break, come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
This is your president speaking. These are trying times. So now I will provide you with more of my favorite words. When you hear these, it will help. It just will. Fancy, drippy, golden brown, grape, rope,
hooker,
intense, pointy, soda, glazed, smurf, cute, jacuzzi, parcheesi, ham, bunny rabbit, Sinbad, dodgeball, energy, pee. I meant the vegetable, not the other one, but that's okay too. And supremacy.
Oh.
Thank you. Don't trust the Postal Service. And don't forget to vote on December 13th. Remember, you can't spell America without me. Get bent.
Our president.
Thank you, Donald. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I am getting ready to do my second treatment on my lawn with
awesome.
Sunday. We are getting rain up here in Maine today, and they give you the products to make a great lawn, and they also will tell you when to do that regarding climate. So if you get a rainy day, they've got a very specific way you're supposed to do it to take advantage of what is a very simple process. Sunday makes taking care of your lawn easier than ever. I just went to their website, typed in my address, address. They get a satellite shot of where you are. It's really amazing how well they did this. It's so cool. My custom lawn plan was based on my soil, climate, and lawn. They sent everything I needed. That might sound more complicated than it is, because
it's not.
When the stuff arrives, this is how you take care of your lawn. Sunday sends some attachments for your hose, and you just attach the included nozzle sprayer, and you water your lawn.
That's it.
That's what you do. Lawn care used to cost me hundreds of dollars or take up my whole day. Now it takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, the grass has never looked better. You don't need to know everything about soil, grass, or micronutrients to have a great lawn. So if you're not 100% sure what your lawn needs to be green, no worries. Just get Sunday. It's not the day, it's the company. Visit GetSunday.com for $20 off your summer plan when you use promo code TMOS at checkout. That's GetSunday.com. Promo code TMOS for $20 off your summer plan. Get Sunday and do it now.
News.
Me.
Boo.
You know I'm here. Prosecutors in Massachusetts have laid out the punishments that they want Lori Loughlin and her husband Massimo Giannulli to serve for creating that cheating scandal with their daughters and college. Lori, they're seeking 2 months behind bars plus a $150,000 fine, 100 hours of community service. For Massimo, they want 5 months, a $250,000 fine, and 250 hours of community service. They'll be sentenced on Friday in Boston, but they're expected to serve whatever time they get in California, just like Felicity Huffman did last year. And like Felicity, they'll probably serve less than what they're sentenced to, thanks to COVID-19. Maybe they won't spend any time in an actual prison. This is weird.
Talk about a lucky break for them, though. The timing.
What is it?
They're basically getting nothing. They got to pay their speeding ticket and move on with life.
And also, have to wonder if the daughter's going to cheat on her COVID test.
Waka.
Oh, come
on. They go, okay, sentence in Massachusetts, serve the time in California.
Yeah, but maybe
probably not the full time they get. But then they did because of COVID, the pandemic didn't happen.
Look, so it's kind of a moot point. School's not really happening, right?
Right.
So
They cheated to get into something that doesn't
happen. No harm, no foul.
Right.
So, and then...
they broke into a movie theater that isn't showing a film.
I get it. Okay, that's it. I get it. Rob, I was going to call you today. Did you get the John Ratzenberger tape by any chance?
Yes, this is depressing. I can play it for you if you
like.
Let me set it up.
The guy who played Cliff recorded a PSA where he says, quote, "The post office is in a little bit of a pickle right now. Hey, Cliff." Cliff from Cheers. Remember that guy?
Yeah, exactly. Of course.
Well, there's all this controversy with the post office and voting and all of it. So Cliff was asked to do a PSA about the post office, and I'm glad you have it. I was going to check in with that. Yeah,
it's from Cameo, and here's the thing. First of all, he looks like he's had quite a few Ratzenburgers with cheese. He's not the Cliff that we remember. And also, there is so little effort here because he does voices. He's been in Toy Story. I think he's the voice of the pig in Toy Story, and he can still sound like Cliff, but he doesn't sound like Cliff here.
You know, the post office is in a little bit of a pickle right now. So I had an idea. Why not do all your Christmas shopping early at the post office store? Yeah, in the post office, they got a store in there. Now, obviously, stamps and things like that. So why not translate
Hold on. How fat is he, Rob?
How does he sound?
Sounds like Ron Jeremy, for God's sake.
I'd say... Here's how I'll describe how fat he is, and as a heavy man myself, I think you'll understand coming from me. He shoots it very tight. A lot of face. So his face is rather light. But he doesn't sound like the
pig. There's usually a technique that's used with people that are fat that actually make every effort to tighten up their shots.
Close, yeah, exactly. All right.
I'm sorry.
Let's finish out this magnum opus here.
This new hat. And just buy that amount of stamps. Easy to carry, easy to mail, easy to ship.
Mail.
And it's worth something. So help your local post office. Go down there and buy something.
Well, nice effort, Cliff. Nice effort. You know,
remember, when you shop on Cameo, you get what you pay for.
That is an example. If you didn't have that tape, I would have never known how that really sounded.
Yeah.
That he phoned it in. Well, that's mostly Cameo. I mean, Cameo
He should know that this is going to be poised to be something to put his face out there, his big face out there again. Use the right voice. It's not a big deal.
By the way, I did Cameo a while back. I think I didn't finish it. I think it's like I got distracted and I'm.
Oh, you mean you just put your name up there to do it?
I don't think I'm on Cameo. Oh, look, I don't think you can go to Cameo. I don't.
What was I doing?
Look at the clouds.
Here it is. Oscar, I might have to ask you about Cameo.
No,
Lori Loughlin.
No problem.
I don't think I did it the right way. It's the anthem in our house. Well, how do I do it? Ask Oscar. Anyway, this is really a great story. I'm going to do a full dive on it. During the making of Tommy Boy 25 years ago, this is so funny. David Spade and Chris Farley got into a massive fight over one of their sexy co-stars, Rob Lowe. On Rob's podcast, which he's doing out there in L.A., David explained that they didn't get time off from Saturday Night Live to make the movie, so they spent a lot of time flying back and forth between New York and Toronto. They were burned out, spending all their time together and fighting like an old married couple.
That's
one
funny.
Day they showed up in Toronto at 1 a.m. for a 6 a.m. shoot. Farley wasn't feeling well, so he decided to crash, but David didn't need a rest, so instead he called Rob and they had a drink at the hotel bar. The next day, Farley was fuming that they didn't call him. He confronted David and said, "How is your night? How is Rob Lowe? How's your precious effing Rob Lowe?"
Oh,
no. And they got into an argument over it. Can you see this happening?
Yes.
So funny. Later, this is my favorite part of this story. Later, David was sitting on the ground eating a tuna sandwich, and Chris came over and stood on David's hand.
Oh, no.
And the sandwich, too. David responded by throwing a Diet Coke on him, and then Chris pushed David down a small set of steps.
Oh, my God.
This is just, Tommy Boy is so kind of iconic because of
Spade is such a wisp of a thing. Can you even imagine this thing happening?
They were so mad at each other that they couldn't even work together that day, and Farley randomly tackled a crew member just to get out some anger. Can you imagine that with the...
These days,
drug-fueled Farley out there. Obviously, they didn't stay mad at each other. David Spade says, quote, "Look, we had a blast. All my memories of Tommy Boy were fun." And they were buddies, and they went on to make other movies. But that's so funny. You went out with Rob Lowe.
He's jealous.
Pretty
How's
handsome
your precious Rob Lowe?
All right, here's some Covey stuff. Quick hits here. This is going to create a real does-not-compute mental catch-22 for some people who love guns but hate masks. A YouTuber has invented a new gun that shoots masks onto people's faces.
This is great.
That's a great idea.
And hey, you can try building your own. Another guy built a Spider-Man web shooter to squirt hand sanitizer. Looks like we've reached the insane hacks phase of the quarantine.
Yeah, I'm sorry. And that's finally, not hand sanitizer.
Colleges are saying we have to do better. You think, colleges?
Yeah.
After students came back to school and have been packing together for parties. I saw one
yesterday. That is
terrifying.
Yeah. Not okay.
I don't know.
UNC.
It looked like
it was at UNC.
Thousands. It was
They're
ridiculous.
They're at a bar. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
University of North Carolina had to go fully online after 13.6% of the 954 students they tested were positive.
Hey, so under 15%. Goodbye. Way to go. Good job.
Insane.
Nice.
It is
nice.
So much for quarter pitcher night.
Yes. All right, here's something chocolate news for all you chocolate lovers out there. Dark chocolate is better for you than milk chocolate, but most people like the taste of milk chocolate more. So this sounds like good news. Researchers at the American Chemical Society have figured out a way to make milk chocolate healthier and give it even more antioxidants than dark chocolate without affecting its flavor or texture. I'm Alton Brown. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hate that. Even his song is like, "I'm a nerdy dick." Anyway, I hate this song. I really do. To make milk chocolate healthier, they blend it in things like peanut skins and coffee grounds. And when the researchers gave different blends of the milk chocolate to taste testers, a lot of them liked it better than milk chocolate that didn't have a bunch of food waste going into it.
Coffee grounds.
The researchers say this new milk chocolate is still, quote, a ways off and subject to corporate patents, so don't look for it on sale anytime soon, but they can make a healthier version of chocolate.
Maybe in time for Christmas. Wouldn't that be special?
Peanut skin. Much?
Peanuts.
And now a little something something. There's a 48-year-old woman named Heather Smith in Tierra Verde, Florida. And on Saturday, she was on a boat with her 47-year-old husband, and they got into an argument. He went below deck to go to sleep. Must be a big boat. But yeah. Heather wasn't done with the fight. So she opened up on the bow's hatch, you know, that hatch they have on some of these boats? Mm-hmm. She opened up the hatch that happened to be right above the bed, and she peed all over her husband. When he went upstairs to confront her up the hatch, you know, sure. up on the below, she bit him on the stomach.
Oh, no.
Really?
So that's it, yeah. Another story from Florida. She was arrested, of course, for domestic battery.
Yeah.
But now, for some reason, the boat is covered with cats. I'm sorry. My cousins were telling me about cats peeing. Cats pee. All right. Sorry, cat lovers out there, but cats pee. Boat just covered with cats.
Yeah. They must cats be also to love to drink antifreeze, and it kills them.
I don't know what's going on.
It's horrible. Good.
We'll take a break and come back with the audio vault right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. This is a stupid show.
Cats.
Greetings, friends. It's your kids' teacher here. Remember back in March when you discovered what teachers deal with every day? Remember how grateful you were? Thanks for that. We miss them. We want to teach them. We just don't want them to kill us. So let's stay home for now. And after a long day of virtual learning, get yourself an egg salad sandwich and enjoy the Mike O'Mara Show. Oh, and buy your kids a TMOS t-shirt so they don't show up to Zoom class in their pajamas. Class dismissed.
Thanks, Teach. Appreciate that. The test results are back, ladies.
Oh, no.
Oh, for cats, Mike.
Thank God. Well, it goes along with this, too. Pony does not need that operation.
Oh, thank God. Goodness.
Oh, boy.
However, the tests weren't cheap, and the doctors did mention something about a corrective brace.
Oh.
It's a costly endeavor, and we still need everyone to visit the TMOS Patron Society. Mm-hmm. This, of course, is satire, foolishness, or is it? You decide. Does he need a brace?
Costly brace?
We need you to go to MikeOMaraShow.com, click on the Patron Society banner, and make a pledge to TMOS. I swear to you, the need is dire, and everything helps. Any amount makes a difference entirely up to you. If you're there for us, we'll be there for you. Support means a lot, so thank you very much, TMOS Patron Society. Bloom. Weak bones. Never drank his milk.
I keep walking in circles without that brace. It's awful.
Yeah, all right, thank you. Great. Let's get right to it. The audio vault for today. This is Tuesday, August 18th already, 2020. Take it away,
I'm Rob. Glad you mentioned August 18th, Mike. Today is National Helium Day.
Happy National Helium Day.
Love helium.
And here is a historic fun fact, because we like to entertain, but we also like to educate. One of the reasons that the Hindenburg blew up is that America is the greatest source of helium in the world. That's just geographically, most of the helium comes from North America.
Okay.
We were suspicious of Germany even at that time, and we would not sell them helium because we thought it would be helpful for them in a future war effort if it were to come, which forced them to use hydrogen in their rigid airships,
and that's why the Hindenburg blew up,
and that's why I have a piece of it hanging in my house.
Does anybody know how they get it? What do they get it, like natural gas? Do they dig for it? Is it down below the Earth's
surface? I believe you drill for it. Yeah,
drill for helium.
Hydrogen also has more lift than helium, but it is unstable and dangerous. And I believe most people agree that because of a rainy day, it was a static discharge that blew up the Hindenburg. And if you ever really, really want to bore yourself, watch the George C. Scott movie The Hindenburg.
Yeah, I've seen it. Mike's fascinated by it. It's a horrible movie.
It's really
bad. By the way, static discharge, something I also experienced on Saturday morning last weekend.
Oh, no. Did you see stars?
Yeah, I did. I did indeed.
Mike, let's say you're living in the NBA bubble and you want a good cup of coffee and you just can't find it because you didn't think ahead. Well, there's a player for the Miami Heat named Jimmy Butler who thought when he moved into the bubble, it'd be a good idea to pack a very expensive French press. And he is now selling cups of coffee from his hotel room for $20.
I'm working on my coffee
That's
skills.
That's great.
After my career, I'm opening my coffee shop. Right now, I'm charging $20 a cup. So if you want some, come through.
People think you're joking, but you have a French press here, right?
Yeah, I got everything. $20 a cup. Small, medium, and large. All of it's $20 a cup. So
why is your coffee special? Sell me.
Because you can't get coffee nowhere here. So I might bump it up to $30 a cup. Just depends. People here can afford it, so ain't nobody complaining.
People love coffee. I bet he's getting it. It's crazy.
That's so funny. That is so very
funny. Out of his hotel room.
Yeah, exactly. In the bubble.
I love it.
You know, there was some talk, it's sort of gone away. I think a lot of PR stuff is just going away because everyone is focused on COVID right now. But remember last week, the big talk was the toxic environment at the Ellen show.
Yes.
Well, it turns out that she has fired three of her top executive producers.
When I say be kind to one another, I don't mean only the people that think the same way that you do. I mean be kind to everyone.
Be kind to everybody and then fire them.
Yeah, well, she is not immune.
Of course,
the criticism here, but she's the star.
Yeah.
And if the show's going to continue, you need Ellen to do the Ellen show. But everybody's read the stories. And when you get celebrities that are going out of their way to mention that it's true what they say about her, you know, it's not just the producer. She, I hope, has gotten an awakening. I believe in second chances and give her a chance.
Sure.
She does do some good on that show of hers. I give her a second chance. Let her do it. But she's been mean. I mean, you read the stories all over the place that she's been kind of mean to people. The worst one, though, was that kid that she worked at her mother's. This kid had mom who had a business.
It was 1,000 years ago. I'm sure.
Like a million
years ago. I can't imagine
ago.
That was not manufactured.
You know, it's like, give me a break with that. But we'll see what happens.
Certain kids should be made fun of.
So they had an all-staff meeting, and it seems that the message was heard loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
here it is, though. When you do what we do, okay, we're not when we're on a studio together, when we've done a show and we haven't done that for years and years. But when we're in a studio together, even when we take a break of any kind, we don't sit there and keep talking and slapping each other on the back and do it. We're working when the cameras are on or when the microphones are on. That's the way it goes. And I guess there are people that maybe need to be schmoozed a little bit. But if you were to look at David Letterman, he didn't have conversations with his guests during the commercial breaks. Only people he super was into, but average, they go up. I don't know what that is, but maybe she rubbed some people the wrong way. But I heard these producers behind the scenes were just monsters.
Yeah.
Really difficult to deal
with. Interstaff relations,
And Ellen could be a real rotten person if she was in the wrong mood. So I don't doubt that this stuff was true. I just hope that now that they've cleaned out some of the people that were responsible for some of this stuff, that Ellen gets the second chance because she's the star, and we'll see what happens whether she gets her act together.
The inclusion part where they need a little more diversity within their team, I agree with. But I also, you've seen, Mike, the highest level of talent really excel. And at that point, if you're at that, and I'm not making excuses for the producers, I'm saying that you get to a certain rhythm where you can forget about your emotions and you just think that, like, you literally, this is what's
good for the show.
Yeah, it's going to take for the show.
Mm-hmm. Good for the show. And sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. And when it snowballs,
it doesn't have to be that way. It
doesn't have to be that way, as we've proven on the show.
It does snowball.
It does not have to be that way.
All right, let's close with this. You know, the movie theaters are opening. I believe AMC is selling tickets for 15 cents, which is great. It gives you lots of money left for a copay. But Russell Crowe did his own trailer for a movie that's going to, as he says, cinemas, and released it to Twitter. The movie is called Unhinged, and I love this because it just opens with Russell Crowe just talking to us. We close with Russell Crowe.
They say there is a catalyst at the heart of the cinema experience, a social contract. A binding dynamic power that lifts the cinematic experience into a realm of intimate connection between the audience and the screen and the stars in the heavens beyond. They say. But who are they? Some conceited, pretentious f**kwads who try to piss in your pocket and tell you it's raining. Well, f*** that shit. I got a movie coming out. called Unhinged. I'm not f***ing with you. It's called Unhinged. It's going to be in cinemas. Off you go.
Off you go. That's your magic audio ball.
There you go. Right, Robin.
Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
And I think Unhinged, a revenge pick.
Yeah.
I know it's getting savaged by critics. I don't care. I like revenge picks. Even if they're bad revenge picks,
yep.
I like the bad guys at the beginning, mm-hmm. get it in the end. That's the way I like it. We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new show tomorrow. Thank you. Let me give you the whole spiel. Shall I do that? Please do. Don't forget, we're dying to hear from you. Messages for the weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our mailing address, TMOS Post Office Box 32101, Washington, D.C., 20007. Need assistance? Pony Brace Boy. No, I'm sorry. It's Pony Boy at Mike O'Mara Show. Let me do it again.
Costly
Pony
Brace.
Boy at MikeOMaraShow.com. If you can lend a hand, your support, please select the Patron Society banner. Thank you for listening, and join us again next for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. For Robin Oscar, Mike O'Mara saying, so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOMaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Good morning!
It's been a good day. My God, what a good day for mankind.
Well, I don't get a brain bang cold, but they're...
Bye-bye.